I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. I'm all warmed up. I'm all ready to go.
Yeah, where are you going?
I had an unpleasant conversation. I'm not going to go into the detail now here, but unpleasant conversation with a government employee. And
the tree?
So I'm all, I don't want to get into it yet. But I'm stirred up. My juices are flowing here.
Well, that's the best time to tell a story and get the most out of it.
No. I have strategic reasons.
Wow, how cryptic.
But, in due time, all truth comes out.
Were you leaking documents, too? They're after you?
If I had documents, I'd be leaking them all over the place.
Man, sure you
would. In fact, one thing we don't get enough of are documents leaked to us. So I'm putting out an all-points bulletin call. If you have documents, send them to us so we can leak them.
Well, we got the Catholic Church documents 20 years ago on what's his name?
Can't live off Mahoney. That. I need fresh meat. I need fresh scandal. Fresh.
All right.
Hot scandal.
Maybe somebody will answer your request and dump some good stuff on us.
I have one question. Is that naked lady still laying on the sofa on San Vicente Boulevard? The naked homeless lady.
And I had another question with that. Is that Amanda Bynes?
John, why don't you go check? You can come back and tell us if she's hot.
If it's, I saw the photo. Of her on the.
Come
sofa.
On, Ken. He's always talking about.
Why is
this woman hot? That woman hot.
A homeless woman who's probably got drug and mental illness problems.
Why is it still be hot?
Why is it bad to talk about how attractive women are?
I didn't say it was bad.
It's not bad. It's just in this case, it seems like a foul ball.
I
foul territory.
I didn't say anything about what the woman looked like.
No, she did. I know.
Said, why
Deborah
don't you go check and report back to us if she's still there? Well, and then I said, and then you can let us know if she's hot.
Based on the photo, I would say.
Well, I mean, we have an update in that story we can play. I was going to start with something else, but since you asked the question, this comes from KTLA Channel 5. John Finolio. Let's play this, Eric.
Along San Vicente Boulevard near Beverly Hills.
What's happening is a complete and utter disgrace.
And it appears to be getting worse.
It's not like we want to be here, but this is the safest place that actually any of us could find.
James Boss has lived on and off the streets for more than 13 years. Recently, he and dozens of other homeless residents have been camping on medians and sidewalks near the upscale Beverly Center, which borders Beverly Hills.
A lot of people say this area in particular has seen an increase in people setting up their camps and like that. Why is that?
They told us to come over here. I mean, the sheriffs and the police department told us to come over this way because they were going to offer us housing.
The LAPD tells KTLA it cannot confirm if there has been a directive for officers to tell unhoused people to move to the area. The LA County Sheriff's Department says no such directive is in place. While the city of LA has an anti-camping ordinance, it's not strictly enforced. But in Beverly Hills, located on the west side of San Vicente, there are no encampments. They are outlawed.
As soon as you put a tent on that sidewalk over there, the Beverly Hills is going to tell you to put it down and come back over
here.
Beverly Grove residents say they are fed up.
They're fighting at all hours of the day. They're doing drugs. They're selling drugs. It's out of control. We pay so much in property tax. We pay so much in income tax. It is not fair for us to live like this and to not sleep at night.
You reached out to your council member?
To Katie Yaroslavsky, and her office just sends a boilerplate email saying there's nothing we can do.
Council member Katie Yaroslavsky, who represents the area, releasing a statement saying in part, "My home is within walking distance of these encampments. What these small businesses and the surrounding communities have had to endure is unacceptable. My staff and I have been doing everything we can to manage the situation while working hard to locate housing and services."
What a crap.
Is people trying to survive?
You'll take the help if city officials will come out here and offer it.
I mean, yeah, definitely. If they could come out here and offer it.
The new CEO of the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority telling reporters yesterday that all cities across California, not just Los Angeles, are dealing with encampment problems. All this despite billions of dollars in funding from Measure H and Prop HHH.
That is the new Dodge. Oh, yeah. Everybody's dealing with it. Beverly Hills is handling it. Beverly Hills is handling it, okay?
Even that guy knew. He said, they'll come right away and tell you to get out.
Yeah.
Camp back over there in L.A.
Hey, look. We put out the warning, never vote for anyone with the last name Yaroslavsky, but people didn't listen. She put out
a statement. She's doing the dance already, statement.
It's a bag of filthy lies, okay? This idea, my home is within walking distance. She claimed yesterday that she drives by with her kids every day.
This is unacceptable.
The woman has been laying nude on the sofa for a month, Katie. You didn't do anything. Yeah. That's what Dr. Ken Wright said yesterday.
Oh, I didn't really get that part.
Yeah, that she'd been laying there for 4 weeks.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So,
but it's been cold and there's been rain. She can't be laying there.
Well, she's all wet and soggy.
She got a blanket or an umbrella, a tarp?
I don't know. And it says...
I didn't realize it sounds like this is bigger than just her and that couch, right? There's other people
sleeping
there? Yes,
yeah. That's the sense I got from Dr. Wright yesterday, because he was talking about how the encampments, one of them, there was a fire that blew out of one of the encampments and damaged his building. She and her staff are not doing everything they can to manage the situation. What is working hard to locate housing? What does that mean? You have a list. LASA has a list of open shelters, open buildings that have... single occupancy rooms.
Hotels.
They have hotels, motels.
Yeah,
they
Bass
have
has
lists.
Been taking those people. Mayor Bass said he's been moving some people to hotels. Maybe they're not right there in Beverly Grove, but too bad.
To locate services, you have master lists of every fake nonprofit that's stealing tax money. They have you don't have to work hard. You call it up on your computer. You call them to come over and control these people. And you tell them, you have to leave. We're offering you a place to go. You must leave now. That's what they do in Beverly Hills. And it can be done. I mean, they've done it in a number of places in the city. By the way, you will see when the Olympics come in 2028, If this isn't taken care of.
Before that, the World Cup is 2026.
Okay. World Cup in 2026. You're going to see how many of the encampments are going to disappear.
They will disappear. So
there, I saw it on the West Side. I saw it in Venice happen a number of times. They were going
to do it for award shows. They do it for everything.
Yeah, award shows, everybody's out. I think Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden came to town on the West
Best
Side.
Best City's inauguration. They cleared out the area around City Hall.
So they're liars.
Whatever that theater was she was in.
They're liars. They're liars. They're liars. Katie Aroslavsky and the people in her office, you should call them up. Call them up all afternoon.
And badger them.
And if they say anything other than they'll be gone, all these people will be gone by 5 o'clock, they're lying. They're stalling. They're misleading you. This is what these people do for a living. All these council people and all their miserable, miserable staffs do nothing but lie to people and dodge the question and
dance.
Is that
who you called today? Is that? Sounds like
no.
The way you got council people and their staff, I thought you called the council person's office.
No.
No. I like this. James Boss, who's been homeless for over a decade, told Channel 5 he relocated to the area at the urging of law enforcement officers.
James Boss.
Homeless for over a decade.
Do you realize that would be about at least 4,000 days? 4,000 days he wakes up and doesn't do anything productive or useful to get out of it. 4,000 days. And after 4,000 days, he's pissed off because the city hasn't done something for him. You imagine that? Can you imagine like laying in the road for 4,000 days?
I really don't think they were told to move to San Vicente and that's where we'll find you housing. That just sounds odd that anybody at LAPD would do that.
I imagine that they had to clear out a neighborhood for whatever reason, right?
Oh, they gave them a certain area.
So the cops made something up.
Could be.
Right? And because you notice nobody's denying it. Katie Aroslavsky is not denying it. And LAPD is not denying it. So I think that in order, it was like an emergency. They had to clear. Maybe somebody very rich and important was coming to a specific
complaining about some area yes. they were hanging out in. All right. We got more coming up. An update on the stabbing death of the founder of Cash App, Bob Lee, in San Francisco. We know a little bit more behind why the man that he knew, they say, Nima Momeni, stabbed him to death. We also got money. Chance at $1,000 with the keyword. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, everything's in place today. We do have two rounds of the Moist Line. That'll start in 2 hours. When we'll have that next keyword, too, around 320. We do have several hacks for the dumpster. Told you we had a bit of a backup. We had the guilty verdict in the Mark Ridley Thomas case, so he went into Satan's Lake of Fire. And then we had another story last week, which moved somebody else into the hack line. That was the LA County supervisors over their plan to empty the jails. But these hacks, we still have them lined up and ready, and it'll be their turn today.
We had them in the holding tank.
That's right. There's a dumpster holding tank.
And that was a bad odor coming out of there. We had to remove them today.
Well, we have a little more information today behind the stabbing death of the founder of Cash App, the man named Bob Lee, who was stabbed a couple of weeks ago and died on the streets of San Francisco. The big story yesterday was the arrest of a 38-year-old man by the name of Nima Momeni of Emeryville, which is just across the bridge there near Oakland in the Bay Area. Lee was stabbed three times with a 4-inch kitchen knife, including twice in the chest. At least one of the stab wounds punctured his heart. Now, the update from some of the court documents coming out says that it looks like this may have been a dispute over Momeni's sister. Momeni's sister sent a text to Bob Lee, the documents show, and the text read, "Just wanted to make sure you're doing okay. Because I know Nima came way down hard on you. Thank you for being such a classy man, handling it with class. Love you, selfish, and a P word." Do we say that word in
Well, you can. It depends on the context. For example, you could say, I pricked my finger.
A pinprick, yeah.
And it started to bleed.
That's possible. Mm-hmm. Now, what I said yesterday is when somebody stabs somebody to death, very often it's over romance, jealousy, love, that category, or money. So, what do we know about Kazar? That's her name. And could it be that perhaps the two of them were tangling? That would be Bob Lee and Momeni's sister, and that didn't work out well with him.
Mm.
Now, he appeared in court today with a shaved head, wearing an orange jail sweatsuit, pants, and sandals. He apparently was not shackled. His sister did show up. She actually, according to reports, had her apartment searched by cops following reports that she recently became acquainted with Bob Lee. You see where this is going?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps.
There's also
his arraignment's been delayed. He'll appear back in court later this month.
One source says Momeni became upset at Lee and blamed him for someone in the party having too much to drink.
Yes.
Could that have been the sister?
It's hard to say.
Yes.
Yeah. It says here the glamorous sister, Kazar Momeni, is said to have introduced the pair and owns property both near where Lee was stabbed and the suburb where he lived last year. She is married to a prominent local plastic surgeon who did appear alongside her
when she showed up today
to show support.
She's stunning.
She is glamorous. The picture I'm looking at, she's wearing all black clothing with the sunglasses on, the long, lightened hair. Now,
yes. Deborah, she would be hot, in case you were
asking. I want to see a picture. I haven't seen
it. He wants to see her on that couch.
if that girl looked like Kazar Momeni, she would have housing by now.
Now, could it be? I mean, this is pure speculation, but could it be that he did not like the fact that Bob Lee was, especially if he was seeing the sister and the sister's married, maybe that didn't sit well with Momeni. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it seems to be popping up in all the stories. So
that there might be a connection?
Well, that she's got something to do with it.
All right. Now, again, Lee was no longer with his wife, Krista. But they both relocated to Florida to remain close to their children. So they have a couple of daughters together.
Yeah, and the search warrant was at her place.
Right.
Yeah. So why would the search warrant be there?
At the sister's place.
Yeah, yeah. Where she and the plastic surgeon husband.
Well, I mean, eventually it's one thing they do. They take a look at the phone, and if there were texts, they got to know what's going on to help them piece together what may have happened. And she's texting him, telling him, I hope it went okay with my brother. He came down way hard on you. Well, way hard down is stabbing. I would say you're right there, Kazar.
Well, he once got arrested for selling a switchblade knife.
Dad, don't know that. They're calling this a 4-inch kitchen knife, so it doesn't sound like a...
Where did he get that? He had that in his car?
The kitchen knife? That's a good question.
Who drives around with a kitchen knife? I thought they went out eating and drinking.
Wait a minute. What's the topic you brought up a couple of months ago? People are being prepared because of road rage. They have all sorts of weapons in their car now.
You're not supposed to use it on your dinner partner.
Well, if they were drinking and there was an argument and it was over the sister or some other...
Yeah.
They must have gotten just really out of control, angry. There's another report, too, that they said yesterday, Momeni graduated Berkeley. Berkeley says we have no...
Mm-hmm.
We have no record.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's got a sketchy past. One employee told Fox that Momeni was the cool guy at times, but also could be wild and erratic. See, I'm thinking there were some loose screws in his head.
Yeah, and this company, Expand IT, I wonder how well it was doing and whether or not he really was well off or just was one of these people that tries to live like they're well off. And were there other jealousy issues over with Bob Lee, who probably was well off?
He's had
the sister gets involved in this.
Yeah, he's had the company since 2010, provides tech services for clients in healthcare, finance, and other businesses. I mean, if he had clients doing that, he should have made a lot of money. And he was living in an expensive condo in Emeryville.
Yeah. Yeah, the Daily Mail ran a story. Does glamorous sister of killer tech exec hold clue to murder of Cash App founder? Married Iranian migrant, introduced suspect and victim, and owns apartment just blocks from where a knife attack happened.
Ah.
So that's what we're focusing in on.
People are going to get even more intrigued with the story, right? Because you have two tech executives, and there's a lot of money here. Then you got the beautiful sister.
Yeah, who's married.
Who's married to the plastic surgeon.
Married to a very well-to-do plastic surgeon. He's quite the plastic surgeon in the Bay Area.
This is soap opera material, isn't it?
It is. And now don't you feel bad thinking it was a vagrant that killed him.
The vagrants will kill the next guy. Vagrants get their share.
That's a red herring. I don't even want to go down that road. That was everywhere in the progressive media today.
Oh, did you notice?
Everybody likes to cherry pick. Oh, see, they were wrong. That proves they're wrong about all of this. San Francisco's very safe.
Yeah.
It's no different than any other city.
They went into
full. No, they have been there lately.
They went into full propaganda mode. In fact, there is one line here. The story in the LA Times by Summer Lynn and Nathan Solis.
Yeah.
And it says, Lee and Momeni had friends in common but were not close. It appears that like most homicide victims in the U.S., Lee knew his attacker. So, no, it was not a strange, creepy vagrant. You see? A little bit of a lecture, a little bit of a finger wag there.
Finger wagging, right.
From Summer Lynn and Nathan Solis.
You know what? They take such a beating most of the time over the real things that are going on. They like their moment in the sun when they can find it, right?
Why would that line be in a news story, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's not exactly objective.
That was gratuitous.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Speaking of the iHeartRadio app, I was just handed our download totals for the first 3 months of the year, and it is record-breaking, so we thank you. it's very good. And April, too. So, this is what all the cool people are doing. They listen to what they can between 1 and 4 on the radio, and then after 4 o'clock, you download John and Ken on Demand on the iHeart app and listen to the parts that you missed. It's a very convenient way to absorb the entire show in one day. At your convenience.
All right. That young man that was arrested for leaking documents, we'll have more on that. He was charged today. We'll talk about it after 2 o'clock with ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks here on the John and Ken Show. Just making news now. Boy, I just remembered this story. Last November, after one of Elton John's concerts at Dodger Stadium, remember that man that got beat up after a fender bender? We talked about this. They just arrested two guys, Reese Hopkins, 38, and Chad Reeves, 42.
38 and 42?
With beating him, right. Well, it's Elton John. I wouldn't expect people to be 15, but
hold on.
The man that was beaten was 64.
Two guys heading into middle age attending an Elton John concert.
Yes.
Beat up a guy in a parking lot.
They did, yes.
I mean, Elton John's music does not stir up those kinds of violent passions.
No, I mean, we said that at the time. This was last November this happened. And what we said, wow.
Like Candle in the Wind got him going? And
but people drink, right, at any event. And they apparently got angry. And
yeah.
I guess everybody got out to see what the damage was, and suddenly they just started, they were beating on this guy.
Maybe they just, they couldn't take the Princess Diana version one more time and made him nuts. They started beating people.
Another story, we were just talking about concerns the little home, it's not little, but apparently there's a homeless encampment. And this kind of actually started with the Daily Mail, which had a story the other day that the homeless were basically in Beverly Hills now. Not exactly, but Beverly Grove, which is a Los Angeles neighborhood, and we're talking near the Beverly Center, if you know what that is.
Right on the border.
Vicente Boulevard. It's pretty close. I think Cedar Sinai is there and all that. Then this story broke, that, and of course it got a lot of attention, that there was apparently a naked woman sleeping on a couch in a homeless encampment. And we had on a business owner yesterday, Ken Wright, who John knows personally, who's got an office building nearby there, talking about the problem. And then the update today was that some of these people told Channel 5 that they were told to move to this area of San Vicente in the Beverly Grove near the Beverly Center by LAPD, and that they would find housing for us if we moved there, which is weird.
That's a weird story that nobody is
confirming.
And, of course,
Katie Yaroslavsky, the city councilwoman for the area, saying we're working as fast and as hard as we can to find shelter for these folks. Which brings us to Steve Gregory, does it not?
Yes, and I think what Steve graciously took that woman in off the sofa.
I hope he clothed her,
threw a blanket on her. And
I was just about ready to say what I had to come here to say, and you threw me off with that one.
Sorry,
yeah, that was a good one, John.
Yeah, that was a curveball.
That's the breaking update. Whoa. Steve took her in.
I mean, things are, you know, I've been having a dry spell, but this is ridiculous.
Oh, jeez. You don't know, we haven't seen her, right?
All right, no,
I don't know, is she hot, John?
Huh?
Oh, not again.
I am not the arbiter of hot.
Well, clearly not. No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, after you watching you give fashion advice to Deborah, yeah.
What we should be saying here, both of you,
yes,
is that she could be sexually assaulted. This is a horrible thing. We need to take care of her.
Well, no, and you're absolutely right, Ken, and this is part of the problem. You go back to Echo Park. I mean, there were murders and rapes in Echo Park at a very high rate. So the notion that somehow this person, this woman is just lying there completely, you know,
defenseless
is a problem. And a lot of the rapes happen inside the homeless community. A lot of men are raping women inside the homeless community. But, you know, I was listening to you talking about this segment. I was coming back from my assignment at Griffith Park. And I'm when you said Yaroslavsky was talking about that they were trying to find housing, it really perplexed me because you know how long I've been covering this issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So I looked up my notes and I was looking at some past stats from the county. As of January 10th of this year, there are 16,434 available beds.
16,000
in the county. Right.
That's hotels, shelters, everything?
That's everything. That's combined available beds.
Available, empty
available
beds.
Available beds.
So, Katie Yaroslavsky, it shouldn't take too long for her to find, you know, a couple of dozen, let's say.
And those are numbers coming from LASA. Those are numbers that were compiled by LASA. And when you look at it, you know, just for some comparison, you know, there are 171,000 homeless people in the state of California. Mm-hmm. In the county of Los Angeles, 69,144. In the city of LA, 41,980. These are all numbers compiled within the last 6 months. And now, here's the thing. So I think it's pretty clear LA has the highest percentage of homeless. 38% of the homeless in California are in Los Angeles. But then do you know what other cities around the state, where they rank?
No.
San Jose is second at 5.8. Oakland, 5.7. Sacramento, 5.4%. San Diego, 4.9%. San Francisco, 4.5%. So there's... I'm sorry, Ken.
No, I didn't say anything.
Okay, so out of that, you know, when you've got that high concentration of beds, or excuse me, that high concentration of homeless situated in the county of Los Angeles and the city of Los Angeles, if you remember correctly during the pandemic, there was such a huge push to get us Operation Home Key and Operation Room Key that they were throwing money at the county. They were throwing money at the city saying, give these people beds, get these people beds. And when they did the Echo Park eviction, I remember because I did the interviews and I played them on this show. A lot of these people don't want to move. They don't want to move.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's really what I thought the truth here, right?
And I'm sorry, I disagree with that. You know, I can't believe the LAPD told someone to move down there and they'll find you housing. That's not the way it works.
I don't believe the story unless some smart aleck cop had to clear out a block. And he just
because of some complaint by somebody who's connected,
and just told him anything to get them moving.
And that's possible too. But the one thing that I have noticed when I've interviewed a lot of these homeless individuals on the streets is they'll tell you most anything.
Right.
And they will.
Oh yeah. They've always got a story.
They'll conjure up a story that you just sit there with your jaw dropped, going, "What?" Mm-hmm. And so I don't know the specifics of this particular story you're talking about, but I will tell you that they cannot just randomly go in there and start clearing out things. They have to have an operation in place, and legally they have to have a shelter and housing for them to go to. It's not like a random thing that officers go in and do. And if the complaints are going to the city officials or the county officials, usually those calls go back to law enforcement. Hey, you got to go do something. And if you remember, it got so bad in Echo Park, they had to bring down a nonprofit, Urban Alchemy, from San Francisco. Oh,
yeah. That's right. That's who they
from San Francisco. Here. Yes.
They had to bring them down to handle the homeless here because Lhasa was ill-equipped and didn't want to do it. They did not want to go in there and do it because they said, one, it was too dangerous, and two, they could never get them. I remember it was Councilman. Who was the councilman there? It was O'Farrell.
Yeah, O'Farrell.
Mitchell Farrell kept trying to get Lhasa to go in there and take care of them, but Lhasa just kept refusing to show up. And then when they finally showed up, I guess a couple of the homeless got aggressive, and Lhasa says, "We're not going in there anymore." That's the organization in charge of homeless.
And you're telling me there's 16,000 beds. Well, on that day, there probably was 16,000 beds or so too. And so this is what I don't understand. They're stonewalling the public. They've got the beds. You offer the bed or you say, "I'm sorry, you have to move on." They did that at Echo Park. They had to leave the park.
There's a big problem now, too, because a lot of law enforcement agencies, I mean, those that are equipped to handle it, like Captain Jeff Diedrich over at L.A. County Sheriff's Department, he runs their homeless outreach services team. And they have a model in place that's used around the country. They go in and they can surgically remove these people out of these encampments and get them into housing in the same day. It's not hard. And if they refuse to go, they have protocols in place for that too. And if they have to, they can arrest them. And the other thing that law enforcement's all worried about is optics. Right. They're tired of the optics and they don't want to get sued by the ACLU or other activists. So this is a really delicate balance here.
All right, Steve. Well, thank you very much. Yep. Responding and coming right in studio.
That's good. Steve, so 16th. So Katie Arslosky, maybe everybody ought to call her office and tell her there's 16,000 beds available.
Right.
I've read that we're talking about at most a few dozen laying along San Vicente Boulevard, including the naked woman on the sofa,
who apparently get her some help.
Katie doesn't care if something horrible happens to her.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
It is time for Dodger baseball. Tonight, the Dodgers take on the Cubs at Dodger Stadium with first pitch at 7. Listen to the game tonight and games all season long in HD on the free iHeartRadio app, live from the Galpin Motors broadcast booth, keyword AM 570 LA Sports.
And they're like a half an hour shorter this year.
That's right.
Look at that. We can all agree.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going to be this traditionalist who said, "Oh, no.
No.
That's for other sports. Baseball shouldn't have a clock."
No, but the tradition was games would be over.
No, I just got you wrong. That's
no,
all.
It would. Games would be over in 2.5 hours when we were kids. Remember?
Yeah, there was no clock. That's right.
Right.
But everybody just played to play, right?
It's not a clock. It's people screwing around, wasting time.
Well, it's kind of a psychological thing. They feel like they need a moment, right, to get ready for the big pitch or the big swing. So they step out.
The players in the old days never used to need that.
Try to psych out the other guy. They didn't.
Just killing time.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, we'll take a look with a legal analyst from ABC News, Royal Oaks, at the charges against the leaker. And he called himself Jack the Dripper.
Well, he was leaking.
A an online forum full of gamers. He presented them with secret government documents. Weird story. His name is Jack Teixeira. We'll talk about it with the Royal after the news at 2 o'clock. Remember, a big story a couple of weeks ago was the expulsion of two Tennessee state representatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they led demonstrators in for gun control and took over the floor of the House of Representatives in Tennessee for like an hour. So with a two-thirds vote, it was a very heavy Republican legislature. They ousted two of the three Democrats who got involved in the protest, but they're both reinstated. Of course, that was another big story this week. What happens after you're expelled in Tennessee is it goes back to like the city council in Nashville or in some county commission for one of the other legislators, and they voted to put them back. Well, a story that kind of went under the radar is that Arizona expelled a state house member this week. That's kind of the thing to do. I wish we could do this in Sacramento, just expel them all. Arizona, of course, has a Republican-controlled House of Representatives, and they expelled one of their own, a woman by the name of Liz Harris. This would be an opposite world from Tennessee. She wasn't involved in any gun control protests. She was one of these people that really believed in some of the far-fetched conspiracy theories, and she started to present them on the floor of the House of Representatives. She's apparently a supporter of QAnon, and she likes the pillow guy, My Pillow founder Mike Lindell.
Yes.
So my favorite, and apparently she started to do this, and I guess they just had enough. They voted 46-13 to send her packing, which is well above the two-thirds threshold. A whole bunch of Republicans joined all of the Democrats to expel her. She invited a woman by the name of Jacqueline Breger, who is described here as an insurance agent from Scottsdale. She came in and spent a couple of hours, 40 minutes, it says, presenting evidence that the newly elected governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, was accepting bribes from the Sinaloa drug cartel. Not only her, but other public officials. Which, you know, it plays easily in some people's minds, because if you hate members of like the opposing party and you think they're progressive left-wing rags, of course they're probably bribed by the drug cartels. This lady's right. 40 minutes, I guess she put up some sort of projecting stuff. She probably put up something.
She had a slideshow, a PowerPoint?
Apparently she did. I don't know what was included in the presentation, but I think they decided that that's all she's here to do, and they voted to oust her.
And nobody looked at her presentation? I mean, to get 40 minutes before the House of Representatives in Arizona, that's a big deal. They didn't have staffers review the materials? They just trusted this loon?
Well, she's given time. I think each state representative can ask for time to
you
present
don't get
something.
40 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know how it works.
You get 5 minutes.
Well, they.
I don't understand how this happened.
That state, of course, did have a pretty closely contested governor's race. The Republican that ran is Carrie Lake, who is a big Trumpster woman who still has not accepted her defeat.
No, I've read Arizona, for some reason, has become a hotbed for every whack job conspiracy theory group, from QAnon to everything else. I don't know if it's the desert heat, but there's a lot of people with fried brains.
Yeah, I don't know. They kind of accumulated in certain places. She also presented what she said was evidence that the Mormons control Arizona state agencies.
Is that true?
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
They control state agencies. Arizona agencies? I didn't know that.
That's what was her contention.
If that's true, that's a good thing. The Mormons are very efficient.
Yes, they are. All right, when we come back, one of the big stories this week is finally they found out who was leaking documents, U.S. government documents dealing with national defense information, stuff on Ukraine and China and South Korea, North Korea. Anyway, they did arrest a guy by the name of Jack Teixeira. And we're going to talk more about the charges against him with Royal Oaks, ABC's news legal analyst, John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live, the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.